Theater fans, get ready, because tonight, the 68th Annual Tony Awards, Broadway's highest distinction, will be presented at Radio City Music Hall. Honors will go to actors, set and lighting designers, but one group is not eligible for an award: the people who make the wigs that all the stars wear. They're an essential part of theater craft, so Jeff London decided to give them their due.
Every time you see a Broadway show, chances are a lot of the actors are wearing wigs.
The problem with being a good wig designer is that if you do your job properly, no one knows that any of your work is on the stage.
Jason P. Hayes is the wig designer for Harvey Fierstein's Tony-nominated play, Casa Valentina.
I don't think people realize that half of the people they're looking at are wearing a wig. And that's where a lot of that labor and that love and that work goes unnoticed. Because if you do it properly, no one knows that you were ever in the building.
Wigs play a central role in Casa Valentina. The drama is based on a real Catskills resort in the 1960s that catered to heterosexual cross-dressers.
So you wear dresses. I certainly do not. I wear them one at a time.
So Jason Hayes says he had to create wigs that weren't for drag queens, but for transvestites.
It's knowing that difference that's very important and integral to getting the looks and the characters right for Casa Valentina, is understanding they're not drag queens. The whole point of their feminine persona is that you should never notice them.
For the character of Charlotte, Hayes created a realistic 1960s hairdo, painstakingly crafted on a base, created from a mold of the actor's head.
It's a very fine mesh lace, so imagine a cross between what looks like window screening but is as fine as pantyhose. You take one strand of hair and you hand knot that on that mesh. So it's almost like you're doing latch hook for people who are a little bit older, with hair.
It took Hayes almost a week to weave the thousands of strands of human hair into just this one wig. But actor Reed Birney, who's nominated for a Tony as Charlotte, says that kind of attention to detail helps him as an actor.
It really is a crucial aspect of the performance. This wig especially for me. Your self-image suddenly changes. I see myself in the mirror and I know I've got this honey-colored hair and a big swoop, and it really does affect the way you move through space.
Do you always travel with Charlotte?
Oh, the sorority has me seeing more than my share of airports. There are certain advantages afforded a lady traveling alone, doors open, luggage carried. The conundrum is the use of facilities. Airplanes have one restroom for all, but I'd risk arrest using the ladies' room at the airport. And Charlotte in the gents is not an option.
So you limit liquids.
Tony-nominated actress Sarah Green says the wig she wears in The Cripple of Inishmon completes her character, a volatile teenager on a remote Irish island in the 1930s.
I want to go out walking with the crippled boy far. It isn't out walking you'd be anyways. It would be out shuffling because you can't walk.
Yet initially, the brunette actress resisted.
When they came with the red wig, I was like, oh no, I want my own hair. And yet the minute I put it on, it was just like, oh no, the bold Helen is here.
If an actor is playing multiple characters, a wig can be crucial in helping to define them. In the Tony-nominated musical A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, Tony-nominated actor Jefferson Mays plays 8 roles.
I say you there, hands off that sword, put down that book. Isn't it enough we let you look? I hate to dash your futile little hopes, but to pay your sixpence and stay behind the ropes.
The styling of the wigs is important, but so is the stuff they're made of, says Charles LaPointe, who made the hair pieces for the musical. LaPointe, who's got an impressive Broadway resume, has a studio with 23 employees.
We build everything human hair.
And where do you get the human hair?
Well, we have distributors all over the place. We get some from London. We get, that's like fine Caucasian hair. Then we get Indian hair from Bali, and we get Asian hair from the dime store around the corner.
Perhaps the most outrageous wigs on Broadway right now sit atop Tony nominee Neil Patrick Harris's head in the gender-bending musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I put on some makeup, turn on the tape deck, and put the wig back on my head.
Mike Potter has designed all 8 of Hedwig's hair pieces, which evoke the likes of Farrah Fawcett and Tina Turner in pink. For this show, Potter's had to come up with a way for Neil Patrick Harris to change his wigs on the fly, so he uses magnets.
They're sewn on these hat bases called buckrams, and Neil has to do all of his own quick changes on stage, and magnets are built into his main wig. So when he's in the dark behind the car, he just pops it on, and it's instantly on his head.
And Harris wouldn't be Hedwig without wigs.
They're a huge integral part of the character. I mean, wig is in her name.
The actor will be showing off those expensively shaped locks on the Tony Awards broadcast this evening. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.